Welcome to Extreme Genes, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And welcome to America's family history show, Extreme Genes and ExtremeGenes.com. I am Fisher, your radio root sleuth, on the program where we shake your family tree and watch the nuts fall out. And this episode is brought to you by BYU TV's Relative Race. Glad to have you along. In fact, coming up in about 9 minutes, we're going to be talking to the host of Relative Race, Dan Debenham, because the series starts again, season 4, this weekend on BYU TV. So join us for that. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking to DNA specialist Diane Southard, and she's going to talk about ethnicity reports and DNA. How much can you rely on them? How much more reliable will they get? There has been some news in the ethnicity department this past week you're going to want to hear about as well. Right now, let's head off to Boston and talk to my good friend, the chief genealogist of the New England Historic Genealogical Society and AmericanAncestors.org, David Allen Lambert. How are you, David?
I'm good, Fish. How about yourself?
Awesome. I got this incredible email from a listener named Laura, and she's given me permission to share this, and I want to get your take on it, and I'll tell you what I told her about this. She said, I have a mess to fix. Let me start. And you might want to take notes as I share this story, by the way.
Okay,
it's a little complicated.
Piece of paper out right
yeah.
Here.
Yep. Get your flow chart. Okay. My mother was raised in a small West Virginia town where most everyone knows everyone. Mom's closest brother was John. He dated two of Mom's girlfriends, Lori and Lizzie. World War II came, and like many, he enlisted. Lizzie was his closest girlfriend, but Lori was his buddy. When he got home, he discovered Lizzie had married a local boy named Will. He also found Lori had married and divorced Bob during this time period. Well, John married Lori and agreed to raise her son. They ended up with three more kids, a daughter and two sons. Lizzie and Will had five kids. Skip forward to 2018 and DNA. A few cousins and I have DNA test results out on several sites, Ancestry, Family Tree DNA, 23andMe, and GEDmatch. We come up with a new first cousin. It seems that Lizzie and Will's second son is biologically Lizzie and John's.
Oh, my.
Yeah. This new cousin just thinks the test is wrong. I don't have the heart to tell him. I know for a fact that John and Lizzie were deeply in love. So I get the brilliant idea to pay to have my youngest cousin, John and Lori's son, tested, thinking that this new cousin will see he has half-siblings out there. Well, talk about a shock when the results came in that Lori and John's youngest son was not John's son. What do I do? Should I continue to keep my mouth shut? Do I do a DNA test on another of Lori and John's kids? Lori and John's youngest son that I tested said he has no interest in genealogy. To top it off, Lori and John's daughter dated what is now known by me to be Lizzie and John's son, half-sister and half-brother. Any advice would be greatly appreciated.
Wow, that sounds like genetic counseling 101. That is definitely an interesting one. You know, we all have these stories that happen in our family. And as you well know, last fall I got the surprise and delight that I have a half-sister. And now I'm delighted to have Donna and my family and her son, Matt. But I also have it in my dad's side. I said to him one time, I said, you know, you don't look a lot like your brother. And he said, well, he's not my full brother. And I said, what? And I found out that my grandmother, in fact, had four children with another man after my grandfather was out of the scene. They were never married. However, the DNA has proven it. They are definitely not my full uncles. But the better part is they have a Mayflower line.
Very nice. Well, you know, the thing is, DNA now is revealing these secrets from even a century or longer ago. And that's the amazing thing. What I told Laura was, my feeling was what Socrates has basically taught all the medical world. First, do no harm. If the one doesn't want to know and the other doesn't want, you know, I don't know that it's her job necessarily to lead them to water. Just because it's the truth, because having gone through this myself, having helped somebody discover that their father wasn't their father, it's painful. And I'm not going to be really anxious to do that again. I think they'll eventually figure it out because more DNA tests will come out that will cause questions to arise and they'll figure it out from there. But wow, what a mess, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty amazing what you can find with DNA. The surprises await all of us.
All right, let's get on to some family histoire news here real quick. David, what do you have?
Well, this one is a presidential type of thing, but it has nothing to do with what's going on in the White House. It's what went on in the White House years ago. There were actually a small group of people, part of a presidential descendants, who had their first ever summit. So from people including the grandchild of Dwight D. Eisenhower, the grandson of Grover Cleveland, to great-grandson of Teddy Roosevelt, but how about the grandson of President John Tyler? Yeah, he has a living grandson. A president was born in the 18th century, has a living grandson.
That's
they all got
crazy.
Together. They have shared stories. Some of them have memories of being in the White House as children. And it's a great way of connecting this small, unique group of people. My blogger spotlight this week shines on someone out in the UK. It's actually not a person, but it is the University of Portsmouth that actually has a program where they're researching the railway accidents of Ireland in the UK. This is a website that can be reached at railwayaccidents.port.ac.uk, and they're documenting all the railway accidents and the railway deaths. And so check out that blog across the pond.
And that is fascinating to me because I'm actually the survivor of a fatal train crash back in 1973. Crazy.
I think you need to start an American version of it in your free time.
No, I don't have time. I don't have time.
Hey, I just wanted to give a shout-out to my good friends, Family History Fanatics. I'll be their guest on September 22nd, 2018 at humblegen.org. I'll be part of a conference with Tammy Tipler Paroli, Melanie McComb, and Tessa Keogh, where we do back-to-research e-conference. Delighted to be a guest of Devin and Andy. Again, find out at humblegen.org. It's September 22nd. Well, that's all I have from NEHGS this week.
All right. Thank you, David. You know, I first met my next guest over 20 years ago, and he has not aged during that time. He sold his soul to the devil, and he's on television still.
I paid a price of $2.95 to the devil back in the day, and so that tells you what I actually truly look like. Not real good.
Hey, it's Fisher here. It's Extreme Genes, America's Family History Show, and ExtremeGenes.com. And Dan Debenham, he is the host of Relative Race. They are coming up on a brand new season on BYU TV, one of the top-rated shows on the network, if not the number one show, right,
that's
Dan?
That's what I hear. That's what they tell me. We're just excited that we can now bring this. Not only we originally had this programmed for once per calendar year, and it seems to be doing so well, we are now creating and producing and delivering two seasons per year. And the season coming up, which is season four, actually starts on Sunday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, every Sunday, starting Sunday, September 16th.
Sweet. And yeah. And I remember being at Roots Tech, Dan, and you had a booth there for Relative Race, and you had members of the teams from your previous season. And I want to just go over and say, hey, how you doing? I couldn't get a word in because so many people were flocked around you and your teams because this show is so big within family history enthusiasts.
You know, it was really exciting. We've been a part of Roots Tech for the past 2 years, but I had just been asked to be a speaker here and there. This past year that you're alluding to your point, we were surprised. We were actually surprised with the overwhelming support and reaction to that.
The fandom.
It was incredible.
These are not people who followed you in your ESPN days.
No, I don't think so. In fact, it's kind of fun now to be bouncing around the country and doing different things. And when somebody says, I know you, I immediately think, wow, that's a good memory that they remember me from when I was on ESPN. But then they quickly say, we love Relative Race. Again, it's exciting to see that people are really connecting to this show, which connects families.
Sure.
This is a show about discovery. And when we capture that in real time, you know, this is not scripted. It is truly unscripted. But I believe it is the best of what unscripted can do. And it is capturing those magical moments when somebody discovers for the first time that they have this relative that they have raced throughout the day or throughout the course of a week to discover. And when they knock on the door and the door opens up and they say, are you my relative? And the answer is, I am. And then they say, how are we related? And often now, more than ever, those answers are, I'm your mother. I'm your father. I'm your brother. I'm your sister.
Wow.
I'm your aunt. I'm your uncle. It is overwhelming what that moment is like. And it's just, it's kind of humbling. I know that's a...
Sure. No, I
think
you're right.
Humbling to be a part of that.
It is, because you're connecting. I mean, this is the most important thing in the world is family.
Agreed.
It's putting people together. So for people who are not familiar with the relative race format,
sure,
let's just map that out a little bit.
Absolutely. Relative race takes four teams. It originally was couples. They were all married couples. Now they're teams. So it can be a father, son, or a mother, daughter, or two siblings.
You haven't had Omarosa on this,
we
right?
We have not.
Okay,
not
I'm
yet.
Just checking.
Not
okay.
Yet. Yeah. So we take four teams, and then we fly them to a undisclosed location somewhere in the United States. We take away all their technology, and we provide them with identical flip phones, old-fashioned flip phones that have no GPS or internet access. They do have texting capabilities only. Then we provide them with identical cars. And then throughout the course of 10 days, every day we send them a series of text messages that provide clues for them to race to a different city every day.
Now, racing, that doesn't mean breaking speed limits
in
or
fact,
you know,
that,
the fastest.
That will get you off the show. It may sound a little corny, but safety is everything. The last thing in the world
sure.
is we need somebody to hurt themselves or someone else while filming this show. And so we actually have monitors on their cars, and we have production vehicles that are following them in front and behind, and they're not allowed to break any speed limits or traffic laws. But as they race to that city, they then are given a challenge in that city. And these are challenges that we create purely for entertainment value.
Sure.
They can be getting to a park and finding a drone and then flying the drone through a drone course. Or it can be some kind of obstacle course. Or this season, which you're going to see on September 16th, I think our day two challenge that they had was the most fun that we've ever had. So you'll have to watch that. But once they overcome that challenge in that city, they're given the final clue on where to find their relative. When they knock on that door, their clock stops, because this is all timed from
sure.
the moment they start the journey in the morning to the moment that they find their relative at night. And when they stop that clock, then everything just stops for them, and they can enjoy this family, this new part of their family that they just discovered. When they find the family member, they also have to spend the night with the family, which
wow.
is interesting.
In and their home?
That's right.
Wow.
Now the relatives who we've contacted in advance, we've told them very clearly that when we say that you have to provide a place for them to sleep, it can be in the backyard. It can be. And so we have had people sleeping in tents. It's really been fun to see that
I've
dynamic.
I've enjoyed the show, but I don't recall anybody in the backyard.
We
I must
had
have
somebody sleeping
something.
In the backyard on season one and season
okay.
two. People were sleeping in the backyard. And so they discover the relative. Time melts away. Literally, time stops
yeah.
for them. And then at the end of every day, we have a video conference call. And that video conference call conferences all four teams in, and myself as the host from our relative race headquarters, and these four teams at various locations around the United States. And we talk about how the day went. We talk about their relative and who they met. And it's often in tears that these video conference calls take place. But unfortunately, it is a race, and
yeah.
there is $50,000 on the line.
Right.
And so if you are the one that is, in essence, the last one or takes the most amount of time to find your relative, then you receive a strike, three strikes, and you're off of the race. If you continue through the process and you make it to day 10 and you are the best on that final day, day 10, then you also win $50,000. So it is this race to discover family. It is a race to understand each other and survive 10
sure.
days in a car with no GPS. So you only have paper maps to guide you everywhere. And then it's this race to also earn $50,000. And it's just a wonderful show.
Well, it is a wonderful show. And, you know, I think everybody in the genealogy space has been talking about this for a long time, and they really enjoy it because it really speaks to what we all do in research and DNA and all the things that are involved in that. And I know you use DNA, too.
We do.
In the process.
I've had a wonderful relationship with Ancestry DNA. But now that's expanded out, and many of the various companies help us in this search to find living relatives. And we
yeah,
also,
you need them all. You need
we,
all
we
four.
Do. We bring them all in. We have professional genealogists that work on the staff with us. And this talented group of individuals, again, not only do we find the families, but we find the stories behind the families.
Yep.
And again, as those stories unfold, as we tell those stories on this show every episode, you really become connected not only with the team that's competing, but in their quest, who they're looking for. And when they find those family members each and every day, it's just overwhelming. It's just really cool.
All right, we got a few minutes left here. So give us what you can give us before the season begins, what we need to know, about the teams.
We call this a tease in our industry. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I can tell you this. Four new teams, and we do have something that happens on this season that has never happened before, and quite frankly, we hope never happens again.
Oh.
But that's a tease. Now, you got to watch for that because it's kind of dramatic. Let's put it that way.
Really?
I can tell you that there are several adoption stories this season where people were adopted and are looking for biological parents and biological family.
Sure.
I can tell you that we become better at what we do in the pre-production process of this show. And so we are better at finding those family members. And I can tell you again that this is absolutely true. This is not a tease. And that is that we have more families, closer family ties, and more family ties that will be revealed on this show than ever before, on this season, I should
say.
And again, this is season four, and it starts Sunday, September 16th. So I hope you and everybody else will watch.
It's
truly is worth that 55 minutes that you put into watching.
Yeah, you had the cars right there at Roots Tech, which
I thought
was kind of fun.
That was fun. And when you attended Roots Tech, not only were you able to get in the cars and that were rigged with all of our cameras, and you could take pictures of yourselves in the cars with the cameras, but then we also had one of the challenges from the show that you could try to accomplish in the booth. And if you did that, then of course we had all kinds of great stuff, to give away. What do they call that? Swag. That's it.
Yeah,
that's it. Shows you how hip I am. I don't even know the term swag. You being the big star that you are. Swag.
Yeah.
I know nothing.
So are you going to be there again this year at Roots
Tech? Yes, we are.
Okay.
And we're going to have the same kind of fun. And I've been asked to be a breakout speaker.
Great.
And so if you are headed to Roots Tech, please come by and say hello, because it is exciting to hear from those that value the show, that watch the show. And by the way, we get a lot of valuable feedback. We get a lot of suggestions on what fans want to see in the show.
And also, people can check out past seasons online.
Oh, yeah.
Dan.
They can go to relativerace.com, relativerace.com, and then that will redirect you to a number of places where you can watch. So go to relativerace.com, or you can go to byutv.org. because it airs nationally on the BYU TV network, and I think they're in about 75 million homes.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot of places. So check it out. Relative Race, he's the host, Dan Debenham.
And he's the man, Scott Fisher.
Good to see you, Dan. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Can't wait to see the new season. It's going to be fun. Very excited to have my good friend Diane Southern on the line from Coral Springs, Florida. She is the lady behind YourDNAGuide.com, and she really makes it simple. And Diane, it's great to have you back on Extreme Genes.
Scott, thank you so much for inviting me.
You know, the ethnicity tests now, I mean, I think this seems to be where everybody is going. I mean, when you look at the total number of people on there without a tree on the DNA tests and all the different companies, it seems obvious that people are doing it mostly for ethnicity more than anything else. And obviously, many of them convert over to full subscriptions and start sharing trees. But I think just the absence of the trees really speaks to the fact people want to know their ethnicity. How much accuracy would you say are in these things? Because we hear that question all the time. What's your take on that?
Well, that's the thing about the word accuracy, right? When we think of accuracy, we're thinking of a bow and arrow and hitting that bullseye every time.
Yeah.
And you really can't think of these results like that, because accurate, it depends on who you're talking to, right?
I hear this all the time. I had a friend of mine whose grandfather was 100% Italian. He's been over there. He's been into the cemetery. He's seen the ancestors of this guy. They're all Italian. And then it comes back like 8% Italian and 30% Greek or something like that. And he says, I don't know about anything Greek. I said, the family must have been in Greece before they went to Italy or something like that. But I guess it really has to do with the place and the time that the match comes from, right?
Well, exactly. And you've hit on one of the big components of this testing. There's really three components you have to think about. The first, like you said, is time. when are we talking about you were in this place? And our ethnicity results right now from all of our companies are pinpointing the 500 years to 2,000 years ago time frame. So most of us, I know I certainly don't have our ancestors all the way back to 500 or 1,000 years ago. So who knows where they were, right?
Right, yeah.
The second component is reference populations. For example, if they've only tested Italians from southern Italy, say, and your Italians are all from northern Italy, well, they're probably not going to be able to pin you as Italian because your particular brand of Italian hasn't been profiled.
Sure.
So reference populations are a huge part of what we get out of these tests. And the last one is what I call fancy math. And that really comes down to the fact that it's not as simple as saying, okay, this is what Italian DNA looks like. Boom, boom, boom. Do you have those markers? You do. You're Italian. You think that should be the way that it works, but it's so much more complicated than that. They are using very advanced statistical algorithms to figure this out. So the math could also improve, and that would improve our results.
Well, and you look at what's just happened this past week. Ancestry has made the most recent adjustment on their ethnicity test. What kind of changes did you see on yours?
Well, right. So they added 16,000 more people to that reference population group. So they're boosting their ability to be able to tell where you're from by making their references better. So for me, I was able to see, I used to have this huge Scandinavian category, right? Like I know a lot of people do.
Yes.
They were able to refine that so much better and pull out my 7% Swedish, which is almost exactly the percentage that I should see. So that was really great. On the flip side, I used to have a nice percentage of Europe West, and that's where a lot of people would see their German ancestors,
sure,
in that Europe West category. And I was right on, I thought, in my percentage of what I should see as far as my German ancestors go. Yeah, that almost entirely left. I'm now left with only 3% German, and it should be a lot higher. So I think most people will see the same kind of thing I saw, some improvements in some areas and maybe a couple backward steps in others.
Well, and I think you've nailed it right on the head. And this is really the reason why so many people are seeing differences from one company to the next. And it has to do with what the original group they're testing against is, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And so that's why it's so great that we have second opinions, right? You get tested ancestry, then you can flip over to MyHeritage or Family Tree DNA. You can take your results even to living DNA and get a more granular breakdown of the UK. So there's just so many options now. And I think people will find that if you do that, if you kind of ask around, your real or true, or if you want to use the word accurate, results are kind of somewhere in the middle.
Do you think there's any point in taking all your results, maybe from all the different companies you may share your DNA results with, and averaging them? Would there be any benefit to that?
Yes. And I think what you'll see, too, is that every company has different categories. So it's actually kind of hard to average because you're not really sure which category goes with which other category.
Right.
And so then you'll also begin to see why you're seeing differences between the companies, because they don't talk about the world in the same way, so they can't be the same.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you've got a great event coming up here in just a little bit, coming up in Sandy, Utah at the Sandy Event Center. It's the Genealogical Roots Conference, October 4th and 5th. Fill us in on what that's all about.
Right. So we are really excited. I'm doing this in combination with Lisa Louise Cook of Genealogy Gems, as well as Sunny Morton, who's an author and a writer, and she also works with Lisa a little bit. But we've kind of put together what we feel like is the ideal two-day conference experience. So regular conferences, you go to class, you have to get up, move all your stuff, go to the next class, and you're constantly moving and changing, and you're getting different speakers and different styles, and everything's changing. It's hard for you to kind of put it all together. Well, we've changed all that. You sit in one spot. We're up in front of you with a nice big screen, and we are taking you through a case study from beginning to end and kind of pulling on each of our strengths. So of course, I'm doing the DNA side. Lisa Louise Cook is doing all the tech side, and Sunny Morton is bringing in that traditional records component, church records, and writing your own personal history and those types of topics. So the three of us have very similar presentation styles. We're very upbeat, very fun. We've coordinated our presentations so everybody's is the same. We're working on the same topics as far as the same case studies so that we can explain how to use each of the tools we know best to help you solve your question.
So if you've got a case within your own family tree where you're saying, okay, I want to break through, I want to get to the other side of this brick wall, I've been stuck on it for 15, 20 years, this is the kind of thing that would help them to figure this out, yes?
Absolutely, yes. One reason I'm excited about this conference is that not only do you not have to go anywhere and that all the content will be delivered directly to you, but I feel like the atmosphere of the whole program will be so upbeat. We're doing a lot of games. We have printed a workbook for each participant. So you won't just be sitting there, but we'll ask you, okay, now turn to your workbook and do this exercise so that you're learning and you're applying immediately so that you're not left wondering, now what exactly did I learn and what am I supposed to do next? Because as you go home, you're going to have that workbook in your hand.
Sweet.
And it will give you all of the next steps.
That's awesome. All right. So how do people sign up for this thing?
All right. Best thing to do, go to my website, yourdnaguide.com, and there's a big banner on that homepage. Click on that banner. Sign yourself up.
All right. And it's coming up once again in Sandy, Utah at the Sandy Event Center, October 4th and October 5th. It's a Genealogy Roots Conference with my guest, Diane Southard, Lisa Louise Cook from Genealogy Gems, the podcast, and Sonny Morton, another great researcher and another great asset as you go about figuring out how to navigate your way through the DNA maze and whatever else may be there. Thanks so much for coming on, Diane, and look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Great. Thanks again so much, Scott.
Time to talk preservation with Tom Perry from TMCPlace.com. Tom, really excited. Relative Race getting underway for another season here this very weekend. And you can watch it, of course, for free on BYU TV or on BYUtv.org or by downloading the BYU TV app. Very good stuff. So as we get ready for the holidays, Tommy, we have to be thinking about this stuff right now because it takes time to gather photographs and documents and maybe even audio of interviews with your senior family members to put together in something. And there are a lot of apps out there that can really help people at this time of year, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. Talking about Relative Race and their apps, there's apps that we can use, like there's Google Photos. There's family tree history if you want to do like a coat of arms, you want to do some.
How does that one work?
Well, it's really neat. You go in and type in your name in like one of five different languages, and it'll come up and say, okay, this is the origin of your name. And sometimes there's coat of arms you can download too, which is really cool, and, you know, making a CD cover or something.
I think it would be actually fun to make your own coat of arms because I think a lot of those things that are out there aren't necessarily your family version of it. You know, maybe it's some other branch of another family of the same name, but wouldn't that be fun to make your own coat?
Oh, yeah. In fact, that's a good idea. Go and download like some generic ones and pick out what you like. Oh, you know, hey, my farmer dad raised pigs. Let's put a pig in the coat of arms. Let's put a couple of chickens. Let's put a lightning rod, whatever, and just have really a lot of fun with it.
I would have to figure out which fish I would put on the coat of arms because I don't have one right now. We got to make sure that they're happy looking fish, too. We can't have really nasty looking fish. We don't want any sharks. We don't want any predators, nothing like that.
Yeah, but you just want the friendly ones.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what else do you have there on the app list? This sounds fun.
There's one that's called Photo Booth, which is really a lot of fun, where you can get your own photos and you can warp them like going through the fun house. You can add them to other photos, and they're just hysterical. And when you're going on a small trip, they're cool to do on your iPad when you're, you know, out of range of using your Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and I think the kids would have a lot of fun with that as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. This stuff is so much fun. And another thing, too, that you can do is download all your photos onto your iPad, and they're not that big of files. And then you can have the kids go and say, hey, look at these pictures and tell us what you think about grandma and great grandma and what's going on. And they're sitting there writing their family history while you're driving down the road.
You know, it's funny. You're right. Once people get exposed, kids get exposed to who their ancestors are and they start to know them, you know, they can actually start to try to figure out what they were about, you know, maybe write a story around those people based on stories they already know about them and feel like they know them even a little bit better. So aren't there some audio apps that are available as well?
Yeah, there's audio apps. In fact, some of them they talk about on bhphoto.com. They talk about some good audio apps that will do things that tell you, hey, for this kind of thing, this is what you want to do with your microphone. And there's apps you can actually put on your phone, and you can say, okay, we're doing this kind of an interview, so I want this microphone to ask like a dynamic microphone, or I want this to be, you know, more centralized microphone. And you can have options where you can go in and do editing. You can do sound refinishing on it. You can sweeten things up.
And wait, it's wait, weird wait. That the microphone wait, wait, wait a minute.